Come in, gentlemen. Come in. William, you should get off your feet. Sit down.
I reckon I'm all right, boss. Larson here is in worse shape than I am.
Well, then you should sit down, Charles. You do look a bit puny, I must say.
Larson lowered himself onto the chair, being careful of his wounded arm.
I'm feeling a mite puny, boss. And I don't mind saying it.
I didn't expect to see you gentlemen quite this soon. I was going to send a man to check with you in another day or two and bring you back if you had the information I sent you to get.
We've got it, boss. That's why I figured it would be all right to go on and rendezvous with you here once we tangled with Jensen's men.
But not Jensen himself?
No, sir. He's not there on the Sugarloaf, just like you thought. You're not expecting him back for another week, maybe two.
You're certain of that?
Chuck heard Mrs. Jensen talking to one of the hands. She's the one who said it, and I reckon she ought to know.
Indeed she should. What happened? How did the two of you get shot? You were supposed to stay out of sight and not engage Jensen's men.
Green, who had been in charge, explained about the gun battle. Joe was glad to let him do it. There was an old saying about shooting the messenger, and he didn't want that to be him.
I'm sorry, boss. I thought we were being plenty careful. I'm not sure how they spotted us. One of those cowboys must have eyes like an eagle.
Trask didn't say anything, just stood there nodding slowly as if considering everything Green had told him.
The important thing is that we found out what you wanted to know, right? We got a pretty good idea of how many men Jensen has riding for him, and we know their routine. And we know that Jensen himself isn't there, and won't be for a while.
You're right. That's very important. I'd hoped I could gather a large enough force to make our move before Jensen returned from Arizona, and it appears now that I can. 20 more men are supposed to arrive tomorrow. That will increase our numbers to 100. Many men have tried to defeat Smoke Jensen in the past and failed. Their mistake was that they'd attacked him directly. I intend to take a more strategic approach and use against him those things that are most precious to him.
Should we have tried to grab his wife? I'm not sure we could have gotten our hands on her without getting killed.
No, it's actually best that you didn't. Mrs. Jensen is a vital part of my plan, but only one part. Other men have kidnapped her and tried to use her to bend her husband to their will, but again, they've always failed. It's like having one ace in a poker hand. That may be the most powerful card, but it can't win the game by itself. What I'm after is a royal flush. I want everything. Mrs. Jensen, the ranch, the crew, even the town. I've studied Smoke Jensen, and I know he has many friends in the settlement of Big Rock. We'll take it, too. And when Jensen returns, he'll find everything he cares about is in my hand. Everything.
And we're going to raid the town first?
Exactly. When Big Rock is firmly under our control, we'll use it as our base of operations to take over Sugarloaf.
There'll be a lawman there.
Monty Carson. I've looked into the man's background. Decent sort, competent lawman, but no match for us. He has a handful of deputies, but there'll be no trouble either.
How soon do we ride?
As I said, the remainder of our force should be here tomorrow. We'll depart the next day and should arrive in Big Rock approximately 3 days from now. Not you, however, William. With that wounded leg, you're in no shape for a hard ride and a harder fight.
I'm fine, boss. This is just a bullet graze. I've been plugged worse.
I think it's starting to fester.
Is that so?
No, it's fine. I tell you...
I'll take a look at it. It may be there's something we can do to help it heal. There's still some time before we leave. Unfortunately, there's no way Charles will be in any shape to aid our cause by then. Even without examining his wound, I can tell by looking at him that he's quite ill. He can be of service in other ways, though.
Trask turned and went over to the small table beside the bed where a black leather bag sat. He opened it and took out a small bottle with a cork stopper. He took a piece of cloth from the bag, pulled the cork in the bottle, and poured some liquid onto the cloth.
What are you going to do, boss?
Ease his suffering.
Trask stepped toward Larson with the cloth in his hand, then looked at Joe.
Joseph, if you'd be so kind as to hold Charles's shoulders.
What?
Trask moved in and clamped the hand with the cloth in it over Larson's mouth and nose. Larson tried to get up, but Joe held him down. After just a few seconds of struggling, Larson went limp and his head fell back. Trask leaned in and tossed the cloth onto the other table next to the bag.
He'll sleep peacefully while I'm conducting my research. Joe, if you'll give me a hand, we'll place him here on this table.
Sure, Mr. Trask.
Doctor. Never forget, it's Dr. Trask.